Let's discuss a little bit this morning about the bracha of Shehakol Nia B'Dvaro. So the Mishnah tells us in Brachas Daf Mem Amin Aleph, the Mishnah tells us that Berech on the bottom, Berech al Peres Ha'ilon, the person says on fruits, if he says it Borei Pri Adama, he's Yotze. Let's say a person accidentally, no, the sheet's here. You could, yeah, we don't have any right now. You use this one, we'll figure it out. So, the person says an adama on fruit. If he's, let's say, eating an apple, and he accidentally says an adama, he's yote, because an adama is more expansive. It includes anything that grows from the ground, which includes, of course, a tree, and ultimately an apple. Al peres haaretz bari peretz lo yata. If a person says on fruits of the ground, which are types of vegetables, and he says haetz on that, he's lo yata, because a tree is not able to, a bracha on a tree is not able to substitute for bracha that's needed on a vegetable. But then the Mishnah says, "Val kulam," and that's a very important line. "Al kulam, if on all them, im amar shehakol nia bidvaro yata." If he says shehakol on all the items, whether it be vegetables or fruits, the Mishnah paskins your yotze on the shehakol. So what's left open is, so shehakol works on ha'etz, shehakol works to substitute for an adama, but it doesn't discuss what about shehakol. Does it work on bread? Does it work on wine? That's an open question. So the Gemara says on the top of Mem Amud Beis, it's actually a machlokas. Gemara says, according to Rav Huna, shehakol works for all foods, chutz min hapas min hayayin. It does not work on bread, it does not work on grape juice. So if I'm drinking wine or grape juice, and I accidentally say a shehakol, or if I'm eating a piece of bread, and I accidentally say a shehakol, Rav Huna paskins, you're not yotze. So what's the reason why? Why are you not yotze the mitzvah? So the way the Rashash explains it, very interestingly, is that's because adama ha'etz and shehakol are very generic brachas. Even adama, even though it's more specific than ha'etz, it's still specific to it. It's a category of vegetables. It doesn't say, I'm saying a bracha on tomatoes, I'm saying a bracha on potatoes, I'm saying a bracha on all vegetables that grow from the ground. So it's generic. It's just that shehakol is more generic, so that's okay. But when it comes to bread, bread is very specific. Hamoti lechem min haaretz. And when it comes to wine, it's borei pri hagafen. It's very, very specific. So when it comes to these two items of bread and wine require very specific brachas, so therefore shehakol doesn't substitute for it. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. But again, shehakol can substitute for vegetables and fruits because the brachas on vegetables and fruits are also somewhat generic. So the mezonos is an open question. It's not addressed here in the Gemara. But lechora, it would work because mezonos is also somewhat of a generic type of bracha. Moti lechem is very, very specific. Mezonos is all the five grains. So shehakol would substitute for mezonos as well. But then comes along Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Shehakol works afilu on pas and yayin. It works even to substitute for wine and bread. And the question is why? The Rishonim don't explain so much where Rabbi Yochanan is coming from, why shehakol works for bread and for wine. And that's what I want to discuss today. Understanding the nature of shehakol nia bidvar. So it's a good place to look at is Tosos and Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosos really brings out the nature of shehakol nia bidvaro. Tosos and Mem Gimel Amud Aleph tells us, this is Dibur Maschil Val Hadas Shebechol Makom. It's talking about different brachas on, I'll let you get a Gemara, yeah. It's Chelik Beis, if you're using the article. Okay. Yeah.
You said Beis, no?
So we know there's a list of brachas that are said not only on food, but even on the different types of spices, different types of smells. There's borei. What are the different brachas? You learn brachas in the...
Isbe, Azbe, Mine.
Okay, very good. Things that grow. Is that right? What? Pears, right, for perhaps an esrog, a fruit that smells nice. There's a certain type of bracha for things that are seasonal. Things that stay on trees, things that grow from the grasses. And then borei mine b'samim is the most generic of the brachos. Borei mine b'samim, like we said yesterday, is like the shehakol of smells. If you don't know what bracha to say, it sometimes is complicated. We were discussing roses a few weeks ago. What bracha do you say in roses? Different types of roses. So borei mine b'samim is the default bracha of spices. So if you look at this Tosos halfway down, Dibur Maschil Val Ha'adas, he says, v'yesh sham... Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosas writes halfway down, Yesham Mine Besamim Shemariach Behem. there's certain types of smells that has spices that smell. And it's unclear whether it grows on a tree or whether it grows on a from the ground only. And there's a different bracha for each of them. So yesh mefarshim, what do you do? Shemivarech shahakol niyabidvaro. You say a shahakol on a smell. Why? So he brings the raya from our Mishnah on Daf Mem, de'al kulam, the Mishnah said, on all them, im berech shahakol yata. On all them doesn't only mean what the Mishnah was talking about, fruit and vegetables, on all brachos. Every type of birchas anenin, whether it be in the world of food or the world of spices, you say a shahakol and you're yotze. But comes along Harav Rabbeinu Moshe Mikutzi, Hayomer Sheivarech Borei Minei Besamim. He says, no, we have a special bracha in the world of smell. Borei Minei Besamim is the default bracha for smell, and shahakol would not work for smell.
So what's two different opinions within Tosfos?
Exactly. Does shahakol work on spices or does it not work on spices? That's the question. Tosos doesn't tell us who, versus Rabbeinu Moshe Mikutzi. So what's the machlokas whether shahakol works on spices or not? So I think it's as follows. If you build, you know, the way I always viewed, I shouldn't say always, a friend of mine who was learning in Shayashiv many, many years ago, not many years ago, but he was in Rav Yeager's shir. And he once said, I always thought pshat was like this. So Rav Yeager said, oh, always, really? When you're in YCQ, you always thought that this was the pshat? When you say, I always thought it's a lashon of gaiva. That's what he was in essence saying. So I didn't always think this, but I didn't always learn as much. But what I'm saying is that I thought for many years, the way you view shahakol and all the brachos is like a pyramid. So the top of the pyramid is the hamotzi, and then there's hagafen, very, very narrow part. And then you come down to mezonos, is more expansive. Then ha'etz is more expansive, and then adama, and then shahakol niyeh bedvaro is the most expansive bracha. It covers everything above that. But it's all start part of a food pyramid. But there's another perspective that shahakol is not part of this food pyramid at all. It's not on the bottom. Shahakol is this bracha that you could use, it's a default bracha, that could be applied anywhere you want. Not only in the food pyramid, but it could be even be applied in the world of smell, in the world of reich. It's just shakal, just a generic bracha of any type of birchas anenin, and not limited to the world of food. That's the machlokas here. And we're going to see other nafkaminas, if shakal is limited to the food chain, where it's going to be more expansive and might not have the other halachas of the other brachas on the food. So this is one nafkamina, whether it works on items outside of the world of food. Does it work on the scent of smell?
Well, that's still only nehem. Couldn't be like, say, you don't remember the bracha for lightning.
Correct. Exactly. It has to be in the world of nehem, which is really limited to food and smell. Yeah. But we're going to see other nafkaminas of a shakal. Does it work as a part of the food chain? Or is it a separate default bracha you could plug in wherever is needed? Let's move now to the Gemara in Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We're doing a lot of jumping around today. Shakal is just it's a good topic to use to survey all areas of Maseches Brachos. Is there a regular Gemara? I have the regular Gemara of this type. I'll say it outside. Meanwhile, what the Gemara is referring to here is the person has the case of he's holding beer and thinks it's wine, or he's holding wine and thinks it's beer, and starts saying the wrong bracha. And if you say the wrong bracha on an item, then you're not yotzei the mitzvah. You're not yotzei the needed bracha. You can't eat. So in Tosos Dibra Maschil Lo, Lasuyin Nehama, he quotes an opinion here of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says, halfway down, a little less than halfway down this Tosos, if a person knows for sure that he made the wrong bracha, she'amar, what's the example? He said, borei pri ha'etz tachas pri agafen. He's holding a cup of wine, a cup of grape juice in his hands, and he says, baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, borei pri ha'etz. And then he realizes right away, he said, ha'etz accidentally, says Tosfos, betoch kedei dibur yachal lachzer bo. Within the few seconds, whatever definition of toch kedei dibor you use, you could quickly go back and say, bori pri agafen, and you still get the bracha. Even though you started off saying the wrong way, as long as you quickly changed your words, you're yotzei the bracha. Now, the implication from this Tosfo, says Rabbi Kivi Eger on the side in Gilyon Hashas, this is the second Gilyon Hashas on the page. He says, it's mashma from this Tosfos, dim berech al hayayin bori pri'etz, without retracting, Dilo yatza. Meaning, if I just said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, borei pri ha'etz and the wine, and I don't change my words and I just let it go, I'm not yotzei the bracha. Ha'etz does not substitute for hagafen. Now, one thing, maybe it should. It's part of the food chain. So, gafen is very, very specific to a particular type of fruit. Borei pri ha'etz is more expansive. It should cover it. So, Rabbi Kiveger is medayik from Tosfos. It doesn't work. Ha'etz will not substitute for borei pri ha'gafen. Now, what's interesting is his raya. So, he says, Tzimuli, this is very problematic to me, right, to Rabbi Kiveger. Deha yayin shem priyalav. Yayin is a type of fruit. It's a very specific fruit. Deha mevarchinen borei pri ha'gafen. So, borei pri ha'etz, and seemingly also borei pri ha'dama, should be able to substitute for grape juice or wine. Vim Kane, he says, Shapir Mevarech Borei Pri Ha'etz, that your bracha was a good bracha if you said Ha'etz accidentally. Ella, the Haya Lo Levarer Yosir Shumi Gefen. You just should have been more specific by saying Borei Pri Ha'gafen, but you weren't. But still, it's not an incorrect bracha. It's not inaccurate by saying Borei Pri Ha'etz. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is bothered by this. And this is what he writes for. This is the Chiddush. Not the above part's the Chiddush, but the point that I want. Vim Kane Lo Gara Mi Berich Shehakol, the Kaimlan de Yotze. It should be no different than Shehakol, that Shehakol works to substitute any other bracha. So what's the comparison of Shehakol to Borei Pri Ha'etz? We have to try to pull out the Svara. This Rabbi Kiveger is packed with a lot going on here. There's several assumptions here. We want to just draw the assumption about Shehakol. He says the way Ha'etz works to substitute for Hagafen is because one's more generic and one's more specific. So he says, so too, just like Shehakol. Shehakol must be working through the same logic. Shehakol is more generic. It covers that which needs to be more specific as well. Meaning he's assuming Shehakol is part of this food chain.
Food pyramid.
It's not that Shehakol is a default bracha and substituting anywhere else. No, Shehakol is just a more generic bracha where there should be a specific bracha for a dama, or more specific bracha for ha'etz, or for agafen. Shehakol is just more expansive, but on that same pyramid. So just like Shehakol works in that pyramid, so too ha'etz is just higher up, but also works on that same pyramid. So he's assuming Shehakol is working through this mechanism of a food pyramid. And that's his assumption. That's he brings a raya from Shehakol. Okay. Now, there's a ritva later on who...
Versus what he said over there.
Versus what the ritva. The ritva is arguing on Rabbi Kiveger. The Ritva, which I didn't present just yet, the Ritva says differently. And the Ritva writes, he agrees that Ha'etz can substitute for Hagafen. He argues on Tosos, he agrees with Rabbi Kiveger, and he says, if you say Ha'etz on Hagafen, it actually does work. But in doing so, in explaining how Ha'etz works, he says there is a difference between Shehakol Nieh Bidvaro and the way Ha'etz works. He doesn't explain so much what it means, but he does acknowledge that there's a difference. And the difference would be is as follows. Ha'etz works because Ha'etz is part of the food pyramid. So Ha'etz is lower down, so it's able to cover that which is above it. It covers the gafen. Shehakol works very differently, says the Ritva. What does it mean it works differently? It works differently in that it doesn't work part of the food pyramid. The shehakol is just this default bracha that can be applied anywhere it's needed, whether it be the world of smell and whether it be the world of food. Shehakol is just this default bracha that can be plugged in wherever necessary in the world of all birchas hananin.
So how does the Ritva understand
our Gemara? This Tosus is Chiddush. It's not based on the Gemara. It's just his own Chiddush. So the Ritva is not stuck in any Gemara. He just argues on Tosus, which he has the full right to.
Why do you have to change the Ritva?
Yes. Now, Tokhde Dibor, the reason for that, Tosus says, because Ha'etz doesn't work. So if you catch it, Toch Kedei Dibor, so that's as if you never said Ha'etz, because I said, the way the Tosso says is, I say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pri Ha'etz, Borei Pri Ha'gafen, quickly. My Borei Pri Ha'gafen is able to erase the Borei Pri Ha'etz within Toch Kedei Dibor. According to the Ritva, you don't need to do that. Once you said Ha'etz, you go say the Bracha. There's no need to retract.
I don't see why they're arguing. Both say the Shehakol is good.
Right, they both say Shehakol is good, but they're arguing the conceptually how Shehakol works. Is it working because it's part of this food pyramid? Or is it working because Shehakol is this default bracha? It's not part of a pyramid.
Right.
It's just a default bracha.
Right. Okay.
That's again lamaisa. They're not arguing, right. And we discussed halacha lamaisa before in lamdas. We're trying to draw out the lamdas here, but there's nafkamina, as we said. The nafkamina would be: could it work on the sense of smell? So if we said it's a default bracha, so then it does work for things that smell. If it's part of the food pyramid, then it's limited to the world of food and nothing else. Okay, now let's move to a discussion. The Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the very last line of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Gemara wants to know, Heichi Mevarech Al Zayis Meliach. How does one say a bracha on a salted olive? So Gemara says, what's the problem? Kevin deshak hilei legarina, since you remove the pit, butter lehushiro, it's less than a kazayas. Whenever you need a kazayas, so you have to take an actual kazayas, including its pit, and that's the volume needed for a kazayas, for kazayas
amata.
Is
that a trick word that we ignore?
No. Yeah, exactly. We do ignore it, yes. So what do you do? Now, the problem is, once you've removed the pit, it has less than the volume of a kazayas. It's no longer kazayas. So how do you say a bracha? So very unclear what the question is. What do you mean? We already know. You say, yeah, that's the kol shu. So that's what most of the Tosfos here says. We're talking about the bracha achrona. Bracha rishona, it's pashit. You're talking about of course you say ha'itz. But that's not so clear according to all the rishonim. If you look at Rashi in the top, for example, of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, he says, batzer lehu shi'ura, v'gave birchas aperos aretz, referring to the bracha rishona, achila ksiva v'achila b'kazayis. You need to have an achila. So how do you say a bracha if you have less than a kazayis? So it sounds like from Rashi, there is no bracha on a less than a kazayis of food, which is against everything that we've learned growing up. But it turns out, it sounds like simply reading without getting too involved in the Gemara, there's a machlokas whether you say a bracha on a kol shu. Now there's another discussion, the Gemara earlier talks about a ti'ima, when you taste something only, you say bracha on a ti'ima, on a taste. That's a different topic. But I want to draw our attention to Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion on this Gemara.
What do you mean that's a different topic? Because it's for a different purpose?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to focus right now on eating a kol shu or tasting the brachas for that. My concern is a bracha on shahakol, the nature of the bracha of shahakol. That's my focus right now. Every sugya has its multiple angles you can look at it. So this sugya here, this particular Gemara, is you have to understand birchas hananin in general, whether you need a kazayis or a kol shu, and also we're going to draw this from Rabbeinu Yonah, his understanding of the birchas shahakol. So I don't want to get bogged down right now on the shir so much. I want to try to figure out the understanding of the birchas shahakol. So if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif, this is found on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis on the Rif.
And the Rif is giving halachas.
What the Rif does, he knocks out all the agaritas, he knocks out all the shakler atarias, all the questions and answers, and he just brings down halacha lemaisa. So on that, the side of the page, Rabbeinu Yonah comments as follows. He says, what the Gemara says here, even though the Gemara says less than a kazayis, you don't say a bracha rishona, you still have to say a shahakol when you eat this olive. Why? Kidei shelo yana min ha'olam hazeh below bracha. So imagine this. If I were to ask you, you know, my Rebbe, Rav Rosenzweig, used to say, if I were to wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you this question, what would you say? I'm going to ask you, if I just walk over to you right now while you're wide awake, what bracha do you say on a small piece of aleph? What would you answer?
Hayetz.
Of course you would say hayetz. It's pashut. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, no. If you're having a shear of a kazayas of an aleph, you say hayetz.
What commenting on? What did the Rav say?
Don't worry about that. So if you have a shear of a kazayas of an aleph, I'm having a full volume of an olive, I say ha'etz. But if I'm having less than that, only a kol shu, a small bite, he says you say a shahakol. You say a shahakol lichat chila, you say a shahakol on this small piece of olive. That's a tremendous chiddush. Now, we don't pask in this way. I just want to draw out what his assumption is. So let's take ourselves back to the first few weeks.
Because you're not qualified to say hey, you don't have rishus, so to speak, to say hey. So then you say, what do you say? Well, there's this other bracha hanging out in the wings that I can always substitute if I'm messed up.
100%. Exactly. He must be assuming it's a default bracha, but let's hone that a little bit further. Let's go back for a second, the first few weeks when we started learning Ketzim Mevarchim, the nature of birchas hananin. We said countless times throughout the shiurim this year, that there's a machlokas where the birchas hanenin is a matir. It allows me to enjoy this food. It's a heter. Or it's a birchas hashevach. It's giving praise to Hashem. The birchas hashevach or birchas hamatir. That's the machlokas. We've shown him a number of nafkaminas. Pretty much every sugya is going to boil down to this machlokas. So let's fine-tune that a little bit further. If it's about a matir or birchas hashevach, can be broken down a chefta versus a gavra. Right? The briskers like to always break everything down to a chefta versus a gavra. If the nature of birchas and nenin is a birchas, it's a matir, it's being matir who? Me, as the gavra. It's permitting me to get hana. If it's a birchas hashevach, I'm praising Hashem on this item. When I see this beautiful apple, I look at it and see the creation Hashem gave to us, I say ha'etz. That's a birchas hashevach. I'm praising Hashem through this chefza, not through my hana. Yeah, I'm getting hana. I'm eating the apple. But the birchas hashevach is praising Hashem's creations. It's a din in the chefza. And a birchas hamatir is a din in the gavra, the individual who is going to enjoy this hana.
But it's only based if you actually eat it. Because if you don't eat it, you're not making a bracha.
Granted,
on the thing.
Granted.
So it is via you anyway.
Ain't
you back to the first
one. No, but you only could say a birchas hashevach if you appreciate this. I can't say a birchas hashevach on a rainbow, on thunder and lightning if I don't see it. I need to see it. I need to appreciate it in order to give the proper shevach.
Doesn't that bring it back to the gavra?
There's a certain element of the gavra, but it's not exclusively on the gavra. It's I'm the one seeing the shevach. I'm the one appreciating the shevach of this chefza. So birchas hashevach is a focus on the item, the food, and birchas hamatir, if you assume it's a matir, it's about me as the gavra getting the hana. Fine.
Is it permitted or getting the hana?
Permitting me to get the hana. It's about the gavra getting hana, it's a matir, or about a shevach on the chefza. Okay. So now, if you assume that shehakol is part of the food pyramid, so it's all about the chefza, right? The highest one is hamotzi and hamizonos and hagafen. It's a specific bracha on a specific food. It's focusing on the chefza, the food that's at hand. And then you get further, ha'etz and then adama and shakal. You're getting further from the chefza, but it still is able to cover the chefza. It's able to cover the food item. So if you assume it's about the food pyramid, it's about the food. It's about the chefza of ochel. But if you assume it's about my hana, about a matir, then shehakol is a default bracha. It's about me getting hana. So for example, the smell. Smell is not considered a chefza. There's no food. There's no food. There's no shevach when it comes to smell. I'm getting hana from it. So that would be considered a birchas hamatir. Shehakol would be this default type of bracha on the gavra.
Is Rabbeinu Gilga explaining Rashi, or is it a three-way machlokas?
I think he might be explaining Rashi, but it might be a three-way machlokas.
So say it again. If it's on the thing, it's this, and if it's on the person, it's that.
If it's on the food item, if it's on the chefta, so then it's a birchas hashevach. And then shehakol is also just a more expansive type of birchas hashevach. It's on the bottom of the food pyramid. It's the least specific of the brachas of the food, but still it's able to focus on the food item. But if you assume that birchas shehakol is a default bracha, it's not part of the food item, it's a matir. Anytime I need to get hana. So now we can appreciate Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says you only need to say ha'etz. Rabbeinu Yonah assumes that the brach of hanenin, birchas hanenin, is on the chefza, the birchas hashevach. Only when you have the proper shear of the food, you have a substantial chefza, do you say the proper brach of ha'etz. You have to be specific to be mishabech Hashem of that food that you're eating. You're eating an olive, it's a ha'etz. But if you have less than the shear, which is not substantial anymore, so then it's not considered food, at least it's not considered substantial food, but I'm still getting hana as a gavra.
You're saying if it's a small amount, very small amount, now we're saying it's on the person or it's on the thing?
Right. If it's a small amount, it loses its substance. It's not considered a substantial object anymore. It loses its status of being a chefza.
No.
But as an individual, I'm still getting hana from this. I'm still enjoying the olive. Although it's a small piece, I'm enjoying the olive. I'm still getting hana. I still need the matir. Oh, thank you.
Still need permission.
But so therefore,
something else.
So that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah says. So let me review that one more time. If you're having the shear of a kazayas, a large olive, thank you very much, an olive itself, so then I need to say ha'etz because it's an object, it's a substantial object. I need to say a specific bracha ha'etz. Okay. Once the olive is less than the shear, it's a very small olive, it doesn't have a shear of a kazayas, it's not considered an object anymore of significance. I don't have to be specific anymore of ha'etz. but I still, as a gavur, need a matir. I need to allow myself to have this hana. So then that's why he says you have to say shahakal, because shahakal is not a din in the chefza. The shahakal is a din in the gavra. It's a din of being matir mihana.
Right.
And therefore, shahakal is viewed as a birchas, it's a default bracha. It's not part of the food pyramid. It's not about food. It's about me getting hana. That's the assumption of Rabbeinu Yonah. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim
Shehakol Ne'abed Baro. But we don't hold that way. This is just for discussion's sake.
Exactly.
To try and understand something.
We're trying to understand the nature of shakol. Whether shakol is a part of the food pyramid, or whether shakol is this default bracha. I know it's a very complex understanding, but this does connect everything together now. Let's now look at a different discussion. When it comes to, I think this next sugya will help appreciate this discussion about shakol being a din in the chefta or being a din in the gavra as follows. You go to the sugya on daf lamed ches amud aleph now. One line of Gemara.
We end up saying both, depending on the situation, or
there definitely is room to say they're both. It's definitely room to say they are both. Shakol might sometimes work as a default to be matir mi from hana, and sometimes it might work as a din in the chefta, it's being a more expansive bracha on a particular food item. But let's look at this one line in the Gemara here. The Gemara says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 lines down.
What page?
Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. 8 lines down or so, the first word on the line is Bepesach. So at the end of that line it says, V'amar mar bar Rav Ashi, hai duvsha de tamri. What's duvsha de tamri? Right, date honey. Date honey. When you squeeze a date, it oozes out, some honey comes out. What's the bracha? So a date is ha'etz. The Gemara paskins mevarchinan alaya shehakol niyabidvaro. You say shehakol. My taima, what's the reason? Zeya ba'almahu. It's zeya. Zeya means sweat. It's the sweat, if you will, of the fruit. It's the juices. It's mei peros. It's fruit juices. So therefore, you say shehakol. You don't say ha'etz. Now, if you look at Rashi 4 lines down.
Yes, here would be more like the moisture.
The moisture, exactly, the moisture of it. Right, the juices, the moisture, the sweat. So, right, what does it say? Oh, you have a Hebrew one there, right?
Yeah.
It's okay. I think, I'm not sure what they say in the English. But zeil typically means sweat, but the sweat of the fruit would be the moisture. Moisture might be a more accurate word. So if you look at Rashi 4 lines down, he says, zeya ba'almahu, ve'eno pri, it's not considered a fruit. Levarech alav borei priyaitz. Dates are considered peros. The sweat, the moisture is not considered a pri. So let me ask you, what is it considered? How would you categorize it?
Say it again. What did you say? Rashi says what?
Rashi says that the zeya ba'alma, the fruit juice, is not considered a fruit itself.
Okay.
In order to say borei priyaitz, you have to eat the fruit.
Okay.
The zeya is not the fruit. Okay. The zeya is the sweat. It's the moisture. Okay. Sorry?
Like apple juice or apple.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the Ra'ah comments on this Gemara. He says, although it's not a fruit, it is considered a mashke. It's considered a liquid.
Not
fine.
Sweat.
Okay.
Is he saying it's not a sweat, it's a liquid?
He just, right now, nothing. He just says what it means. Zeya is, in other words, saying it's a mashke, it's a liquid.
Okay.
We have fruit, we have ochel, we have mashke. There's food and there's liquid. Doesn't seem very presumptive of the Ra'ah. If we look at the Ravid, we'll see there's actually machlokas, Ra'ah versus the Ravid, how to categorize what Zeya means.
How do you get Rashi, Rava, and these three people, right. They're so on the same level, different
yeah,
levels,
all Rishonim.
On each other.
All Rishonim. So that right.
Saying different things.
Yes. So Rashi says it's not considered fruit. But what is it? He doesn't tell us what it is. So the Ra'ah says it's considered a mashke. It's considered a liquid. So we're going to go off tangent for a few moments here. And we're going to bring this Ashit, this Ravid, and the Ravid, we're going to bring it back to this Sugya and hopefully appreciate all these things.
But Ra'ah says liquid, Rashi says sweat?
Rashi says nothing. Rashi says it's not fruit. He doesn't say what it is. He says what it's not, but it doesn't say what it is. And the Ra'ah says it's considered a mashke, it's considered a liquid.
And there were three? There's a third line?
So now we're going to go through Shitas Rambam and the Ravid for a second. We're going to go into the world of Tumah V'Tahara. It's a very important Tumah V'Tahara, halachas, basic halachas. That when it comes to any food, it's on the first page there. Rambam Hilchos Tumas Ochlin, Perk Aleph Halacha Dal. The first page, the third source. The Rambam says, I'll say outside and then we'll read this inside. The Rambam, the halacha is, in general, in order for food to become tame, let's say a person who's tame mace, tame nevela, tame sheretz, whatever the tumah the person is, and he comes into contact with food, the food has to first be prepared. It has to be what we call huchsher l'tuma. What it means huchsher l'tuma is that liquid, water, or one of the other seven liquids has to come into contact with this food. Once it's been detached from the ground, the tree, apple comes off the tree. If it comes into contact with water one time in its life of the apple, or any of the other liquids, which is going to be water, honey, blood, dew.
Do that thing. Yes,
you like that thing I did? Okay, you like that.
I got porn.
Okay, so based on the Yom Tovim, we have Rosh Hashanah would be honey. Yom Kippur would be blood. Sukkot would be water. Chanukah would be oil. Purim would be wine. Pesach would be tefillas tal. And Shavuos would be milk. Those are the seven that connect very nicely to the Yom Tovim. So any of those seven liquids were to come into contact with an apple or any other food, once becoming detached from the ground, it's now what's called huchsher l'tuma. It's prepared to be, it's not tame, but it's ready to become tame. Now, if after that point, something tame, somebody tame touches the food now is tame. Somebody was asking me yesterday how that works, why that's needed for food. So I'll just explain quickly on the side, just to appreciate this a little bit better. Why does food require huchsher? Why does it require to be prepared? Anything else in the world, a person, I don't need to be huchsher. If I touch a mace, I'm tame. Even if I never were to come into contact with water, if I never took a shower before, I never touched any liquid, if I touch mace, I become tame. Why does food require touching one of the liquids? So there's a machlokas, the Ramban and Sefer Chinuch. Again, big tangent, but still. The Sefer Chinuch and the Ramban have the following machlokas, how to understand huchsher l'tumah when it comes to food. The Ramban says that tumah works very similar to the way physical dirt works. Spiritual tumah, spiritual dirt, is similar to physical dirt. If I drop a dry piece of dry apple on the floor versus a wet apple, which would I be more likely to eat? The dry apple, right? The dry is going to just wipe it off in the 3-second rule. If it's a wet apple or a cookie you took a bite out of, a lollipop, there's no way you're eating that. Even if you wash under the sink, I'm not touching that lollipop. When it's wet, things stick to it more. Says, it does not apply to what?
It's not. 3-second rule, it's clean, and it doesn't have germs or bacteria.
Oh, I thought that was just a joke. I never took that seriously. I always thought that was a joke.
No, I mean, it was studied formally.
Oh, really? Okay.
You can go get germs on it.
Right. But still, less germs, though, than if it was wet. I would imagine. It's less dirty. You put a dry lollipop and a wet lollipop. The wet lollipop's got a lot more dust and dirt on it and whatever else is on the ground. Anyway, so too says the Ramban, when it comes to tumah, something wet is able to attract tumah than if it were to be dry. Now, he says even though when it comes to food, let's say the apple's, even though the apple, let's say, was wet, and I dried it now, so now it's not going to be dirty, now it's dry. Once it became wet, that's enough of it to be able to attract tumah. So that's what he says by food. When it comes to people, people are more, in general, just are more susceptible to tumah. However that works, unclear, but that's what he says by food. It's very much connected to washing the fruit. Very good. If you take an apple and you wash it, you have to then wash your hands because of these halakhas. Very good. So their Sefer Chinuch says different.
Do that, or this is the Pesach question that we don't do it anymore?
You still do that, but that's a different topic. Sefer Chinuch says, no, the reason why apples and food require water first, because you need it to be a fruit. When a person eats an apple off the tree, it's not considered a fruit yet until you wash it. It's not complete yet. It's dirty. You don't want to eat it. You don't want to eat an apple right off the fruit. You want to finish the completion. You want to bring it to your house, wash it, clean it, and now you're ready to eat it. Before you wash it, before you eat it, it's dirty. It's been out in the field for several months. It's dirty.
But why is it? No, it's hanging from a tree.
Yeah, it's dirty though.
No,
sure it is.
What makes it dirty?
All right, I would not eat an apple off the tree even without pesticide. I would wash it first.
Storm.
Yeah. Anything outside. Either way, the Sefer. Okay. Either way, Sefer Chinuch writes, an apple off the tree or any other food that's been out in the field for many, many months, in order to finish the fruit, you need to wash it. Okay. So that's the Sefer Chinuch's approach. Okay, interesting machlokas you've shown him. Yeah?
Just if timing on mitzvahs, then it should apply whether it's on the tree or whether it's mechubah or not. That would seem to me, if you wash it when it's on the tree, it shouldn't make a difference.
I hear. It's a good point. Anyway, this machlokas, Ramban and Sefer Chinuch, there are a lot of nafkaminas. Many nafkaminas.
The Ramban doesn't say you have to wash the food.
No, he does, but he just, the reasoning is a different reason than the chi. In a chanami, he might think that one should wash the fruit because it might be dirty otherwise, but from a halachic standpoint, you don't have to wash the fruit. But anyway, I wanted to just throw that out there for interesting food for thought, and there's a lot to talk about on this topic. Let's bring this back now to our discussion. Look at the Rambam inside. The Rambam says in the first page here, Ein shei mashke shemekabel tuma, ela shivas hamashkim sheminyana bilvad. Now, the only liquids that are able to become tamei are those liquids that could make other foods be machsher other foods. So the seven liquids that we listed that are machsher foods, they're the only liquids that they themselves, if they come into contact with tumah, will become tamei themselves. Aval, when it comes to shar mei peros, other fruit juices, kederech shein machshirin, kach ein mekablin tumah klal. Just like other fruit juices, apple juice, orange juice, are not machshir other foods to become tamei, they themselves don't become tamei if somebody tamei mace touches apple juice, touches orange juice. Those liquids don't become tamei. Okay.
Why? It doesn't make logical sense.
This world of tumah tara is not necessarily not logical. It's based on psukim.
Okay.
Listen, honey. Vash. I'm saying you can make something, but honey itself can become tummy.
Why not?
Like a soak a pig in honey, it's a pig can become edible.
That's a different point. That's not about tumah. That's about treifus. So if you look at the rivet now, around halfway down, the next part's the rivet. It's the same piece here. It's connected. The rivet's commenting on the Rambam. If you look around halfway down the page, the first word on the line is mitstarfe. If you go down towards the end of the line, it says betosefta. So the Ravid finds a tosefta and writes as follows, and that's why we need this Ravid. Dvash tamarim, when it comes to date honey, eino lo ochel v'lo mashke. It's not food, nor is it drink. So I went up on this big tangent to tell you this following tosefta. Dvash tamarim is not considered mashke. Now what did we say the Ra'ah held? He said dvash tamarim is considered mashke. Everybody agreed. The Gemara told us that dvash tamarim, what bracha do you say on dvash tamarim on date honey? You say shakal. And the Gemara says it's because it's zeya ba'alma. So what does it mean, zeya ba'alma? It means moisture. It means sweat. So the Ra says it means it's a mashke. It's a liquid. It's a cheftza. It's not food. It's a liquid. But it's still a cheftza of something one would eat or consume. It's a liquid. It's a mashke. Right, but the Ravid says, based on this Tosefta, it's nothing. It's not ochel, and it's not mashke. It's nothing to talk about. It's not even liquid. It's moisture. It's nothing. There's no substance to it.
You don't say a bracha at all.
Ah, but Ravid can't argue on this. The Gemara says you do say a bracha on it. So you say a bracha on something that's not a food item. So let's now backtrack for a second. We were discussing before the nature of shahakol. Is shahakol on the chefta?
So if it goes on smell, then you could say a bracha.
Exactly.
And if it doesn't go on smell, meaning if it's the bottom of the pyramid, then you can't say a bracha on the dvash. But if it's the catch-all that comes from the side, then according to this, you can't.
Exactly. Well, let's say it differently. If it's a part of the food pyramid, you have to, everyone agrees you say a bracha on it. You can't say there's no bracha. The Gemara says there's a shahakal on it. You have to say it's a mashke. The only explanation for saying shahakal on dvash tamarim is if you assume it's a mashke, it has to be a chefta, it has to be a food item, because shahakal is part of the food pyramid. But if you assume that shahakal is this default bracha that can be plugged in anywhere you need it, it can be plugged in even in the world of smell, nothing to do with an object at all, then even if you assume like this Ravid, that it's not a mashke, I would still have to say shahakal, because it's not about the chefta. It's about the gavra, about me getting hana. It's being matir me as the gavra of getting hana. So that's why there would be shahakol on this, even though it's not a meichel, and even though it's not a mashke. So this bridges everything together, I think. Yeah, Rob.
As you were saying it, it reminded me of, most people would never eat ketchup or mustard, but it would be similar like this. This may not be an item that they consider as a regular kind of food. It's eaten with something or on something, like mustard or ketchup. Like ketchup, you wouldn't just take a thing of ketchup.
Okay, but still, ketchup is still considered food and drink. It still qualifies. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. That's how you use it. that's how you use it. It's considered ikar v'tafel. We normally don't say a separate bracha because it's simply there to enhance the ketchup to the french fries or the chicken. But if you eat it independently, it's still considered a food or a drink. No question you would say bracha on that. Let's move now to a different topic. And it's getting late. Well, I'll go quickly through this just to show one last example. You go to the Mishnah Mem Amud Beis. The Mishnah Mem Amud Beis, it's where around 8 wide lines down. It says, Al davar she'ein gidulam in ha'aretz. Something that does not grow from the ground. Omer shehakol nia bidvaro. Right? Like eggs and meat and fish, they don't grow from the ground. The shehakol, you say. Al ha'chometz. What's chometz? Right, vinegar. Al anovlos. The Gemara discusses some type of dates that are very inferior type of dates. Or maybe it's figs, I don't remember.
What's the first word on the line there?
First word on the line there? With Masnisen? Oh, you look at the Misha. The Misha. Go down. The 8 Y lines down or so. 7 Y lines down. Al novlos val hagovai. Govai is a type of grasshopper. Omer shehakol nia bidvaro. So we say shakol.
It includes grasshoppers.
Yeah, certain types of grasshoppers.
I was wondering what kind of
So you say shakol and chometz. On drinking vinegar, you say shakol. Now the difficulty with this is that all the Rishonim point out, the Rush and others, so if you look at the Gemara in Yuma, a person drinks vinegar on Yom Kippur, he's actually pater, because vinegar is considered inedible. So how come the Gemara here says, the Mishnah says, you say a shakol on chometz, but if chometz is really inedible, according to the Gemara in Yuma, so some Rishonim say it's a machlokas in the Gemara. One says that shakol, one says it, one thinks it's edible, our Gemara thinks it's edible, and you say shakol, and the Gemara in Yuma thinks it's not edible, and therefore you're pater. They're two different Gemaras. But you certainly can be played safe. But then the problem is, the chumr is, if you say shehakol when you shouldn't be, it's a bracha levatala, which according to some Rishonim is an isser deraisa. Others say it's isser midrabanan. So the chumr is not to say bracha.
No, you're right. Okay, right. So I didn't say it right. So you say, no, you have to say bracha, but you go lechumra in by your skipper just in case.
Right, you certainly shouldn't put anything in your mouth. But if one does, the Gemara says you're pater. It's not considered rari la'achila. Let me just finish this point because we have a few minutes left.
That's so only for Americans, not for Israelis.
So on this point, so Rabbeinu Yonah comments on this Gemara. And I'll just try to find this really quickly. Where'd this go?
It's not sour, vinegar, my family won't eat it.
So Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. So Rabbeinu Yonah is mechalik by the shear, how much you drink. And he ends up saying that if you have less than the shear of chometz, it's probably not worth me going through this right now. He says as follows. Even though when it comes to chometz on Yom Kippur, you're pater, when you have a revis of chometz, but if you drink a lot of the vinegar, which is counterintuitive, you actually would be chayv on Yom Kippur. Because even though it's a lot of disgusting drink, you're still getting hana, you're still getting some nourishment from the vinegar, and therefore you say a bracha. So once again, the Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. If you have less than the revius of chometz, you say a shehakol, because it's also to get hana from this world without getting saying a bracha. I'm going to ignore that piece for now. Let's stop here. But either way, we see from this, all these Rishonim and all these different Gemaras, that there's a machlokas how to categorize shakol, whether shakol is a din of the food pyramid, and it's really a din of the chefza. It's just a more expansive bracha of the chefza. Or shakol, more of a default bracha, it's more of a gavra, it's a matir for the particular individual. Next week in Mirchah Hashem, we're going to learn about discussion about an olive. There's a sugya here, coming up in Daf Mem Alf, an olive, about a zayas, and there's a discussion in the Rishon whether an olive is considered a davar charif, something sharp, a davar marv, it's considered something bitter, and connects to a lot of halachas of a davar charif, cutting with a knife, bas b'chalav, something sharp. Does olive qualify? And there's a very important Gemara here about this. And also, can olive be used in terms of a maror? Would olive be considered something that's bitter for maror for Pesach? All right, so we'll stop here.
All my life,